Happy Wednesday, everybody, and happy New Year's Eve. We're glad to have you here on the show. Of course, we are going to be answering your listener questions. Scotty G and Pam are standing by to answer your Walt Disney World trip planning questions. And right at the top of the show, Scott has a great tip for you about Disney art on demand, how to fill your house with art and have an awesome opportunity to bring home memories from your most recent trip and decorate your house at the same time. I was kind of unaware of this, and it's a great way to keep the magic alive back home. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. They just want to thank you again for your support in 2020. It was a crazy year, but thank you for continuing to travel, or if you were not comfortable traveling, just delaying those trips into 2021, because we have a feeling 2021 is going to be amazing. When you want to get that next Disney adventure on the books, just drop by the Magic for Less. .com. Also, please continue to use our Amazon affiliate link. It's over at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. A free way to support the show. Even the small purchases do add up, so please use it as often as you can. Again, beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And finally, a huge shout out to our patrons. Thank you for helping us keep the show going in 2020. It was one heck of a year, and your support means so very much. If you'd like some extra content in your week, like Mike in the Midwest every Thursday, just drop by patreon.com/beourguestpodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1824 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you and happy New Year's Eve, right? We had to do that on Christmas Eve, so we got to do it as well on New Year's Eve, And this year, I don't know, what do we watch? I guess they're going to still drop something in New York. I mean, you know, we're dropping the ball. I mean, I think we've done that all in 2020, so why not do it on New Year's, you know, tomorrow night as well. This New Year's Eve is going to be a little bit different, but you know what? I'm old anyway, and I just struggle to stay up till midnight, and I'm always at home. So really, this one's not that different. I would not. Let me ask you. So let's get the folks introduced that are on the show today, and because I have a really important question for you guys, which I think I know what your answer is going to be, but I'm not positive. And as I look down at our live video feed, as we record live here on YouTube and Facebook, since the last time we recorded, now our guests are in opposite boxes. So I'm all kinds of confused. So joining me today, he is in for Ricky again, and we're glad to have him. He's up in the mitten. Your friend of mine, hashtag Scotty G, Scott Gardner up in Michigan. Scott, happy 2021 almost.
Wow, almost 2021. Just a couple more days left of the show that has been 2020.
Oh my gosh.
Excited for the new year, ready to wrap up 2020 and excited to answer some listener questions.
Yeah, we had more podcasts in 2020 for our show than we have in any other year, because we did a ton of shows at the beginning of quarantine. So it's been a good year for us. I mean, we've had a good time with it, but I'm excited to get 2020 out the door. A few more hours, right? Yeah. Okay, so I want to ask you something. We're talking about this in the pre-show, and I wanted to get this in when we did that show a couple of weeks ago. We talked about the Riv and Caribbean Beach Corner on a Friday, how great that those two resorts complement each other. But one of the things that you did at the Riviera, which I meant to mention because I think it is so cool and it's a hidden gem, was that, what's it called? It's got the Art on Demand?
Yeah, it's called Art on Demand. So if any of you have ever been to the Riviera, there is some gorgeous artwork throughout the resort, in the public areas and in the rooms themselves. It's just I just love it. And we're kind of obsessed with the Disney art. Like, we love the artwork of Disney. And if you go to their little shop, which, by the way, why is that like the smallest gift shop in the world?
No kidding.
Like,
I had to wait behind four people to get a Coke Zero out of the little cooler.
Yeah. It's nuts. That needs to be like the size of like the contemporary gift shop. Instead, right. It's
100%.
Like a tenth of it. You know, it's so small. But anyway, there is a little kiosk by the register where it's an art on demand. So you can go and look through some of the artwork that's in the resort. And what's cool about it, you can select from like three or four different sizes. You can select a custom frame and you just kind of build your art piece right there on this kiosk. So there was a piece of art that we really loved. It was this Ratatouille. It's with Remy like sniffing like the apples, or like it might actually be garlic that he's sniffing, but he's surrounded by apples. It kind of reminds me of a scene from the movie where he's talking about all the flavors that you can taste in a bite of food or whatever. It's a really cool piece of art. So Elizabeth really wanted it. It was her birthday weekend. I was like, let's totally do it and like just see what the art on demand is like. So we did it. You know, you place your order and it gives you like a little piece of paper that kicks out like a receipt almost. And you take the receipt to the counter, and that's how you pay. I was able to use an AP discount, which is really cool. So I got 20% off. I probably would have gotten a bigger size if I would have known that. Good to know for next time, though. But yeah, anyway, so it's really cool. You just build your own piece. And the lady was saying, like, you know, this might take 3 weeks for it to arrive to your home. I think she was worried about us getting it in time for Christmas, which was no big deal for us. I'm like, yeah, that's totally fine. No concerns there, but we got it like less than 2 weeks later. And I was really impressed with the way it was delivered, the way it was packaged. And I mean, they really took good care of the painting. And this is a big piece. It was like, you know, it's not cheap. It was around like $220 or so, but it's going to sit lovely in our kitchen now. And it's always going to remind us of the Riviera. And I know I've said a lot, but there's so many great options to choose from. Every piece of artwork in the Riviera is an option. Plus, they have theme park attractions, too. So if you're a big Space Mountain fan like you are, Mike, there's an awesome Space Mountain piece of art that you can order and get it customized. You don't have to do the frame, but I think getting the frame is really a really nice piece, too.
And so, but this was actually, you know, you saw this piece of art was hanging in the one-bedroom villa that you had. So, I mean, it's really going to remind you of that trip.
Yep, absolutely. There's another great piece that was in that one bedroom villa of like a Princess and the Frog with Tiana, like a Tiana's place kind of a thing. And I think we might be ordering that for Emily on our next trip as well. So we have a pretty good amount of Disney art in this house, but it is going to be, we're in trouble now that I've discovered this basically.
Art on demand could be dangerous. It sounds like.
But it's super cool. I highly recommend I know Pam's really in the art like we are. And if you're just passing by the Riviera, I highly recommend just piecing it out. Like, they have nice range of sizes too. You don't have to go super big on any of these because sometimes you want those smaller pieces throughout the home as well.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. All right. We have another Walt Disney World art aficionado with us. She's the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. Pam, happy new year almost.
I like that I'm an affectionate.
I'm classing up the place. You know, it's almost like it's charcuterie. It's the charcuterie.
You're making like new words.
That's right. I'm trying.
So, yes. Happy New Year's Eve. Yeah, the Disney art. I love pieces that are like so subtle. You don't know unless you know. You know how that's all over social media now. If you know, you know. Well, I like the ones that you don't know unless you know. So, we have this really big piece that I got at Disneyland years ago that was done by Jane Wooster Scott, who does a lot of like towns, like small towns. She paints a lot of towns. Well, this was Disneyland as if it looks like a small town. And you can't really tell it's Disneyland. There is the castle in part of it, but most people don't look that closely to it. So you can't really tell that it's Disneyland. And it's a big piece. It sits in the main area where we are. So anyways, I love Disney art, especially stuff like that. And there's another great piece in the Riviera. It's the cats from the Aristocats. They're all kind of there and they're looking through and there's a hidden Mickey in it. So many great pieces. If even they just had the art available at the different Disney resorts, it would be worth checking out because, you know, they just have so many great pieces, but this is the art on demand. I know I've scrolled through it many a times. We just haven't ordered And now I'm gonna be looking at that.
I recommend. One thing that I thought I'll have to, I can't fully remember, but I think I was disappointed in this. I love the photo by the restrooms when you go past the Voyager's Lounge, they have of Walt, and there's one with him with these penguins. And because I love penguins, I just love that photo. Like, I don't think they have any of the Walt photos on the man, which is probably some like copyright reason because they're family portraits. But like, it is super neat. Highly recommended.
Real quick, first question. Since it is a listener question show, and then we'll get to the other questions. But Alfred's asking, like, what is the range of prices? Like, what are we talking here for, like, the smallest to the biggest that you saw?
Yeah, I think it could be. I hate to get this wrong.
Well, but I mean, you could check on the stand. Start
somewhere like around $50, maybe without a frame, because you could just do. Because you ever see like the resort artwork, like in the in the resorts, like a nice drawing of the resort. Right. Like they have those options in there too, that are like. I don't know what would you call that material, Pam? Is it like paper or like,
it's like
a print, they're like a lithograph. Yeah. Yes.
So they have those that you can choose in there too. So you have you can take an image and you have all these different varieties that you can do. So it really ranges, but I would say probably around $50 without a frame. And then you can just go all the way up to possibly like $350, depending on how big and how fancy you want to get with it.
All right, so here's a question I have for Pam real quick, since it is New Year's Eve. Pam, have you ever done Times Square? Or if you haven't, would you ever endure a Times Square New Year's Eve? Like, I mean, because it looks like, I think it's like a young person's game. I'm not saying that we're old, but I'm just saying like, I don't know. They say they, you know, under normal circumstances, like they corral you in there. You got to stay in there for like hours and hours in cold weather. You can't go to the bathroom. I mean, no, like I'm a Midwestern guy. No thanks, dude. I struggle to watch it on TV. I mean, have you ever gone to New York City for New Year's Eve, or would you?
I have not. It would be challenging for me. Here's how I would be able to do it. Like if I had a lovely hotel room from which I was able to see it, or that had a bathroom, by the way. Or if I bought some macked out package to do it, where they had a private bathroom to go to and did all of that, which you can do too under normal circumstances. But yeah, to be there with everyone, no, I don't think so. Just it would be a madhouse, really and truly kind of a madhouse.
Well, could you imagine like the PTSD you would get if you went back and watched like New Year's Eve 2019? You know what I'm saying? Like, right. I mean, because we've been conditioned for the last, you know, 10 months about you cannot be. I mean, I've even seen this, like, and I'm sure we've all done this. Everybody listening to the show, like, if you go through your Google Photos and it says, you know, 1 year ago today, 5 years ago today, 10 years ago today, because we've all been together at Walt at Epcot on New Year's Eve so many times. So I'm starting to see those pictures pop up from you know, previous New Year's Eve. And I'm like, oh my, look how many people are in this shot. There's fire shooting out of the dragon's mouth. Everybody's got a drink at Epcot. It's like, what are you thinking, people? And we didn't, you know, it was just it's sad to say, but it was a different time 1 year ago. I mean, Scott, you were there. I mean, it's weird when you see those memories pop up.
Yeah, I'm trying to imagine being in China with like the fire dragon going and how close and how on top of each other we are.
Right. Literally on top of each other.
Then have it be 10 degrees instead. And then with thousands of more people, hundreds of thousands of more people, like, no thanks. No thanks.
It's unbelievable. All right, so let us get to the listener questions. We're going to the inbox, and Kimberly's got a question here, kind of a simple one. So if you had the choice between the Riviera and the Yacht Club to stay with three people, two teenagers and an adult, where would you stay? So you get the Riv or the Yacht Club, one adult, two teens. Now, I've already answered this one because I wasn't sure if she wanted this one for the podcast or just to help her out planning. So I gave her an answer, but I want to see what you guys say. So, Pam, what advice would you give?
So where are we staying at the Riv? What kind of room?
Okay. All right. Okay. Scott, what do you say?
I say the Yacht Club because of Storm Alarm Bay with the teenagers. I think they really like that pool.
Okay. So here's what I said. It's kind of the right in between what you both said. I said, would you like me to answer this on the Wednesday podcast? Because it's a great question. But here's what I say. You can't lose either way. But I think you would love the Riviera more. But the teens would really enjoy Storm Along Bay, the best pool on property at the Yacht Club. So I would say, you know, if the teens had to win out just by an inch, I think the teens would love the Riviera. Don't get me wrong. It's got a great pool. But like Scott said, because of Storm of Long Bay, I think the teens might prefer Yacht Club, but I think Kim might. I think she definitely wants the Riv. It's just a cool place to be.
So again, it's awesome because my last day was at the Riviera. You know, we did 7 nights there at the end of November, early December. And my next trip in February is at the Yacht Club.
Right.
So I like what she's thinking.
Because I didn't think about that. You're exactly right. All right. Sherry's got a question. Hey, BOGP crew, we're going down to Walt Disney World in March. And I just realized my Epcot day is on the opening day of Flower and Garden Festival. Do you think it'll be crazy busy that day? And should I switch? Or do you think I should stick with it in hopes of seeing some Disney podcasters like y'all and some fun food Instagrammers? Okay, I got to stop there. That day you will see food getting pictures taken like nobody's business. I mean, sure, Chef Todd will be down there, you know, giving us all the scoop as he always does. I love his takes because he's brutally honest, like because he knows his stuff, right? If something's bad, he doesn't say it's good. I like that. She says, I also have my heart set on eating at Three Bridges, but I don't know if they take reservations, and I'm worried that we won't have access to Coronado Springs since we're staying at the cabins. Any advice on how to get a table there would be greatly appreciated. Also, are kids allowed there, or is it 18 and up only? Thanks. Sherry's down in Dallas, the Big D. All right, first of all, let's take the extra opportunity to see all the vloggers and bloggers and podcasters on day one of a festival. Pam, what would you say? Should she go that day and just kind of take it all in, or do you reschedule and say by day two it's old news on you know, all the socials?
I may be inclined to reschedule. I'll just be honest. I think that what's more valuable to you is probably to have the you don't need all those people clogging it up, is what I'm trying to think of a nice way to say it. Like, I think that you'll have more time and you'll be able to enjoy it more if you just go and take it in and do all the things that you want to do during that. Now, the thing to note is that it used to be in the past for many of them, they had like sort of a preview day that was sort of before the official day, but they have not been doing that lately. So I think the first day will be much more busy than it has been in the past. So I would reschedule to a little bit later in your trip.
I would say too, especially if you're looking for any of the, like say a couple of years ago when they had the Orange Bird Sipper, I'm looking over at my shelf, right? Those things that people are always like, they got to have like this day one is good. You probably won't get it, right? But as the festival goes on, they don't run out of those things typically. You know, they might run out that day, but if you go like day three, day four, those kind of limited of, you know, kind of things will probably be easier to get. I don't know, Scott, would you go day one or would you reschedule?
I kind of think the opposite of you there, Mike. I think if you want to get that merch, you want to go on day one. I could be wrong there, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to have to be your focus, though, too.
It is going to have to be your focus. But and also, if you go day one, maybe there's opportunity with all these Instagrammers taking their food photos that they're actually not going to eat the food. And you just say, hey, can I have
that? That's true. That's true. Yeah, you're not going to eat that. You've already taken the pictures. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Because that happened to me when the Regal Eagle opened up. This person next to me, I just happened to be there on opening day. This person next to me ordered like two of everything and just was taking photos. It was just one person. I was like, I almost asked her, like, can I help you with any of that? Like, if Ricky was here, she would ask for the garlic bread.
That's right.
But I think avoiding day one is the way to go. I mean, I know with the reservation system now, like it's not going to be like overbooked by any means, but it could still feel crowded a little bit. Epcot potentially could. Actually, does Epcot ever like fill up the reservation days? Like, I don't know, but
we haven't seen it happen, but yeah. It could. Yeah, you're right. This could be like a new social program, like befriend a Instagrammer and then, you know, you reap all the benefits. Like here, I will stand next to this trash can while you wait in line to get your, sushi roll or whatever you have, you know, and then when you get back and after you take all the pictures, like I'll take that off your hands so you can go to the next booth. You know, like you're helping them out. That's great.
Like, yeah, a caddy.
Yeah, totally like a caddy. That's right. Like, yeah, okay. Yeah, totally. Okay, so Pam, what about Three Bridges? It's not 18 and up.
Does it take
reservations? And they shouldn't have any issues getting there from the cabins.
No, you should be able to. What you want to do is you're staying at Fort Wilderness Cabins and you'll just take transportation over to the Magic Kingdom or to Disney Springs and then go ahead and take transportation right to Coronado, and you do not need reservations for Three Bridges. You can just go there. It's sort of a lounge area, and you just sort of walk up to it.
So tips for Three Bridges. She sounds very excited for it. So what's your just real quick review of being there?
So Three Bridges is awesome. It's one of my favorite places to go. It sits out there on the water. It's beautiful to be there, especially around sunset, because you get those views and you're looking over at Grand Casino and the rest of Coronado, which is stunningly beautiful. They have a lot of different choices of things to eat. They have appetizers and small plates, but then also things that are more entree, and they have lots of good drinks. They are sort of famous for their sangria and some of their other drinks, so make sure that you check them out, too, if you're so inclined.
And I thought I saw, too, this doesn't have anything to do with Sherry's question, but because you guys, when you were down there with the travel agency a couple months ago at this point, you guys did Sangria University, but that was kind of something Disney only did for like special groups and, you know, things like that. But now that is something that the general public can book as a group event, right? Is that
not yes, right? You do. Well, yeah, you would have to have your own group.
Yeah, right.
Yes, to be able to do it. And I think they're doing that 10 or more folks for that. But yeah, it was really worth doing if you like that kind of thing. They not only teach you a lot about sangria and give you things to sample from, but you get to create your own sangria and sort of see what appeals to you and put in what you really want to put in. So we really enjoyed it.
Cool.
And if you don't have enough people, just ask some of those Instagrams
that's
you met
true.
At.
After we take the 17th picture of the sushi roll, we'll go over to, you know, Coronado and, get that up on the IG. You know, it's not Instagram anymore. I heard it's just the IG. Follow me on the IG. I'm going to remind me at the end of the show. I got to say that so I sound better. All right, here we go. Sean from South Jersey's got a question. Hey, BOGP crew. I'm happy to say that I'll be celebrating my 35th birthday in the beginning of March at Disney World. I'll be staying at Kidani Village, but have a couple of questions. The first is, is Sanaa breakfast a sit down or is it takeout? I don't know this one. Does anybody know? For breakfast, is it? Because I mean, Sanaa's obviously a table service restaurant.
I believe that you could sit down, but there's like a to go offering as well. I'm not 100% certain.
I'm not either. I'll be honest. I'm not either. So,
well, I mean, I would guess.
Maybe you can ask the chat.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And if anybody has it in the chat here, we can figure that out. But of course, we could put it up on social media too. But I mean, obviously, Sanaa's sit-down restaurant. But I know a lot of these restaurants now offer the mobile order where you can grab it and go. Here's the fun question here. My second question relates to my favorite restaurant, Jiko. I always have the best meals and the best old-fashioned cocktails I've ever had. However, there's still no sight of when or if it'll ever be opened in time. What would be a great substitute for Jiko? I always love your inputs and keep up the great work. Sean G. He's trying to be like Scotty. He's Sean G. All right. So let's say that Jiko is not back open by March. He's going down for 35th birthday. Wants to have a great time. Loves Jiko. What would be a parallel experience to Jiko? Scott, what do you think?
Ooh, that's tough. Definitely like another signature meal. I'm going to, if I had to pick today, I would go with Narcoozie's at the Grand Floridian. You know, another Jiko is really known for some great wine. So I'm not sure if that's what they really like about Jiko is the wine selection, but you know, Narcoozie's has another solid wine selection and one of the best steaks I've ever had. And I just love it. And it's a great atmosphere. You're right there on the water. You can see the Cinderella's castle from there. So that it'd be a good birthday experience.
I would say that you like Narcoozie's. I would say you're number one on their fan list. You really like that place. All right, it is.
Yeah, they all really know good. Me in Narcoozie.
That's right, they do. You're like Norm there. Hey, Scotty G, hashtag IG. Here's your table. All right, Pam, what would you say? Kind of a parallel experience for Sean over he likes Jiko, but if it's not an option, where should he go?
So challenging because we're really missing some of our signature locations. Of course, California Grill is available. So I think that would be something that would offer you something, but it's not going to be sort of the unusual or the signature spicing that you sort of get at Jiko. That is sort of a menu in its own. It's very unique in that space. If you're open though to trying something, you might want to look at in Disney Springs, Morimoto's is a really great restaurant. It has a very different feel than most of the other restaurants in Walt Disney World. you know, Chef Morimoto is famous for so many different Asian-inspired dishes, but check out the menu there. And the other place I was going to say at Disney Springs was Haleo, which is another really great experience. It's sort of Spanish food, a lot of tapas and things like that. But I'm telling you, if you go to Haleo, you have to get the tomato bread. It is absolutely one of the best things I have ever eaten at Walt Disney World, really and truly. And it's just really simple, rustic, great bread, great tomatoes, good olive oil. It doesn't get much better than that. So try that out.
So tomato bread. Okay, again, I'm from St. Louis. I'm not fancy. Like, so is it like a bread with tomato sauce on it, or is it?
No, it's more like grilled tomatoes.
Tomatoes.
It's just so good. It just really is. It's a really good crusty bread that they sort of spread with olive oil and grill. And they have these kind of grilled, dehydrated tomatoes almost. Not dehydrated, but like they are definitely cooked down because the flavor is so intense. It's just really, really good. So.
Yeah, I got to get there. That sounds like my kind of place. And I just haven't been to Disney Springs my last couple of trips because they've been short. Yes.
The small plates are great. They have great charcuterie. Oh. Give it a ding. Yes. They have all different kinds of small plates that are so good too there. It's just a great place to hang out.
Can I just like plug Disney Springs right now though? Like we used to not be the biggest fans of Disney Springs, but oh my God, like we... And mainly, like, Elizabeth just didn't like it. I don't know what's wrong with Elizabeth, but like, with everything they've done, maybe it's, like, the Downtown Disney is what she really didn't care for. But now, like, all this transition, I know it's been a few years, but, like, we hang out there all the time now, it seems. Like, just, even if it's just to go there for, like, a quick bite at Polite Pig or something, you know, we just love going to Disney Springs. I just can't speak highly of it.
Right.
Enough,
you know. It is. Then you, like we talked about Saratoga Springs last Wednesday, you know, that'd be a great combo because you just have so many dining options right there across the bridge. Okay, let's get to Andrea's got a question. She's actually from Webster Groves, Missouri, which is just in South County here in St. Louis. So glad to have her here. She says, do you know where I can find a list of events happening at each resort, like movies under the stars? Pam, do we have this over on the Mouse for Less? Some kind of
used thing? To used, not anymore. It's just not available like that. You're gonna have to wait till you check in, and then you'll be able to see some of the recreational activities there. Ask at the front desk, or they actually have that ability for you to chat within the app. After you're checked in, use it there. You'll be the most successful there because if you're asking too far in advance, I will just tell you right now, it will be an exercise in frustration for you. Don't do that. They don't have the answer to that far in advance. So, and those people will look for it. They will look for it for a really long time and you'll sort of be there wondering what happened. So, you know, maybe you can try like if you're in the same month that you're checking in. Otherwise, just wait till you get there and they'll be able to help you with that.
That's right. Alfred in the live chat asks, what is the name of the lounge at Wilderness Lodge and is it open? Pam, I know this is one of your favorites.
Geyser Point is there and it is open. It's one of the lounges there. The other one is Territory Lounge and it is not open right now, which is kind of sad. I really wish it was because I think like the lounges like that would be a great thing to be open. I think you could be socially distanced and grab some to-go food and a drink there, but they haven't really opened a lot of those up. So, but try Geyser Point. I highly recommend that as well. It's open air and they have good food, good apps, good drinks.
And Wilderness Lodge does reopen on June 6th. So hopefully Territory Lounge, maybe, you know, once the lodge is reopened, we'll get it back. All right. Abigail's got a question. Hey, BOGP crew, my parents and I are considering going down to Walt Disney World. I'm usually the planner of the group, but so much has changed in the last 8 months. We're a very cautious group. We'll only be doing mobile order and dining outside. I'm not sure if this could be a whole show, but could you name a few places where one might be able to eat away from other people in low traffic areas? Your show has been keeping my spirits up during these times. Thanks. Abby is in Illinois. All right. So kind of the low traffic, you know, let's just say, you know, kind of socially distant, friendly place to eat. So just let's try to give one in a theme park. So, Scott, what pops in your mind?
So I think of like Flame Tree because there's so much outdoor seating there, right, at Animal Kingdom. Because you can go deep into their seating. Yes. And it's even on like a really busy day, we've been able to eat way back in their seating area and had no pretty much like our private party, right? So I would go with a Flame Tree at Animal Kingdom. That's a great, great spot.
That is a great spot. And that's great food. You know, I haven't eaten there since the Thule Canteen opened. Like, and I feel bad because I used to go there every trip. I love Flame Tree, but God, I just got to get that protein bowl and those little cheeseburger pods. I'm such a creature habit. I got to quit. You know, I got to start expanding my interest in life. But that's
I'm more of a table service guy, but Mike, but like, you're right. Animal Kingdom has such awesome counter service because Yak and Yeti is another great option too. Like, it's really hard to choose when you're at Animal Kingdom.
And Harambe Market. I mean, that's kind of underrated. People never think about Harambe Market. That's open air, a lot of space, and, you know, interesting flavors to try out. And it's probably not very busy compared to the other places. Pam, what about you? What are you thinking?
So, in the theme parks, I think that you're going to have a lot of choices. But I was going to say, if you're looking for things that aren't going to be quite as busy, no matter where you are, you're not that far away from a counter service location that will be available at the resorts near the theme park you're at. So, like, if you're at the Magic Kingdom, you have the Contemporary, you have the Grand Floridian, and you have the Polynesian to consider. You also are just a boat ride away from Wilderness Lodge and Fort Wilderness. If you're in Epcot, you have the counter service locations at Yacht Club, Beach Club, Boardwalk area. So consider those too, because you're actually going to find so many less crowds there during the day. Now in the evening, things are going to be busy because that's where a lot of people are getting their dinners. But during the day, if you're looking for lunch, that's going to be a good location for you.
Right. Now, great friend Beth from down in, she's always at the parks, down in Central Florida. Tomorrowland Terrace, since it just reopened, and some might not know that. Limited hours, but good option. It is open air, and it's tucked away right there, you know, where the dessert parties are. Mm-hmm.
Oh. That's mine and Paige's place, man, because you get those, like, buffalo tenders. Like, I love that. I love it when they're open.
Right now, though, they're serving Columbia Harbor House menu. They got the lobster rolls and everything. Oh, my God. Yes. Yeah. Think about that. You can have Columbia Harbor House, and you don't even have to walk to the back of the park. Dangerous. All right, let's get to the last question of the day. Oh, I love this one. You'll like this, Scott. It's from Joe. Hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky, and sometimes Scotty G. Look at that. He knew. It's crazy.
Joe's my guy.
That's right. I listen to every one of your podcasts on the way to work. Not only is it informative, but it gives me my Disney fix until I can get back to the world. This is a good question for Pam or Scotty G, since he lived on property all summer long. I like that too. You almost did. I think you've all answered this in the past, but I can't remember the answer. My girlfriend and I are going down to Walt Disney World, and our first day was an add-on, and we're staying at Caribbean Beach. The rest of our stay was to be at All-Star Movies, but Disney moved us to Coronado Springs. That's a nice upgrade. Nice. You gotta like that. Thank you, 2020, for that. Can you please go over how moving resorts works with luggage? Will Disney still move them? Do we need to take them to the lobby or leave them in the room? Also, do we need to check in twice? This is our first ever split stay. Also, on a side note, I'll be proposing to my girlfriend on this trip. Hope she's not listening. But not in the traditional way, in front of the castle. She loves the Little Mermaid, so it'll be in the kiss the girl scene on the attraction. But castle photos will follow. Thanks for your help, and thanks for the awesome podcast. Joe C's out in Virginia, Scotty G's number one fan. And I'm just thinking of this proposal. That I like it, but I mean, I'm just saying, I mean, you know, Scott's with me. Like, we've done the proposing thing. Dude, it was hard enough on a stationary park bench in front of the Missouri River for me. You got to be ready, man, because that's an omnimover, right? It's not stopping. So, Scott, what are your thoughts on the proposal process first? I mean, on a moving attraction, a moving omnimover.
I mean, why not, right? it's pretty creative. Then every time they go on that attraction, they'll think of the terrible experience it was, or the great experience that ended up being. Who knows? I'm all for creativity.
Oh, man. I'm just saying, like, it's nerve-wracking. Like, you're sweating, you're on the outside, the inside, and, like, you got that 7-second window.
The lap bar is going to be on you. Like, so where's the ring going to be? Are you going to have to, like, try to dig in your pocket? Or, I don't know. That's going to be – or just have it in your hand already? I don't know. Things to think about, Joe.
Yeah, I love it. Just, you know, hey, you got to shoot for the stars, man. You go big or go home. And that's going big. So there you go. You're staying at Coronado Springs. I mean, just do a night over at Little Mermaid Rooms at Art of Animation and get in front of Ursula or something. You know, it's like stationary. I'm just saying, like, practicality you're nervous enough, man. You don't want to have a lot of moving parts. But hey, write us in. We got to talk about this. We got to probably do a whole show on that proposal. So anyway, all right, Pam, you're the queen of the split stay. Talk to him because he's worried about the check-ins, the luggage move, all that stuff.
Okay. Well, so first of all, as far as the check-ins go, you will have to check in for both resorts, but you're going to do them both on your app before you leave home. So you don't have to worry too much about that. You'll go ahead and put in your room preferences and the time that you expect to check in there. As far as luggage goes, Disney will still transfer your luggage for you from one resort to the other. What you'll do is you'll take it to Bell Services, let them know where you're moving to next, and then they'll take it from there. But I always caution people when they're doing this because this can literally take all day. It's not as if Disney, as soon as you run down there, they're like, oh, we're going to get this over for you right now. We're taking it in a car. No need to worry. I mean, they may do the luggage transfer once or twice per day. So if this is something that you'll want to have at the next hotel, do what I do and grab an Uber or get in your car, take your luggage over to the next resort, check in, hand it over to Bell Services, and then go about your day like you were going to. Then you'll know when you get to your new resort that evening, your luggage will be there waiting for you. And that's a good feeling. So that's right. What I do.
Yeah, I mean, Joe's staying at two resorts, but your luggage might go to 11 that day. I'm just saying.
Exactly. Very true. It rides around in the back of some van somewhere. You know,
it'll get there. Yeah, it'll get
not very cautious. It gets in vans with strangers.
Another recommendation for Joe, like, I'm just like freaking out now about the proposal. Don't put the ring in the luggage, man.
Yeah, that's true. Like, yes, please don't. Yes. Oh my gosh.
If it gets lost or like, I don't know when you're planning on doing the Magic Kingdom proposal, but like, make sure, like, I would just keep a ring, like, on a carry-on bag that you're going to have with you at all times.
100%. Okay. Oh, yeah. 100%.
Okay, now I won't sleep until I find out how it went for Joe. Now I'm worried. All right, Joe, good luck. All right, hey, that's going to do it for us today. Don't forget, today's show, as always, here on a Wednesday, brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. We're moving into 2021. It's going to be a great year. You know what make 2021 better? Getting your next Disney vacation on the books. You know, whether it's a Disney cruise, those ships are going to get back out. I know they're going to get back out there here soon. We all need a cruise. I mean, we need some vitamin C, S-E-A, and we have great onboard credits that you get when you book with the Magic for Less, of course. Still some awesome early 2021 discounts for the room discounts down at Walt Disney World. We have that new ticket special coming out on January 5th, so that's just right around the corner as well. Bottom line, drop by themagicforless.com, fill out the quote form, we'll take great care of you, and you'll have something to look forward to, something great to look forward to in 2021. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon, when you do that online shopping. And again, a huge shout out to our patrons. Thank you for your support here in 2020. You've really carried the load, and I appreciate it so much. And if you'd like some extra content like Mike in the Midwest every Thursday, just visit patreon.com/beourguestpodcast. Give us a follow on the IG. It's at BRGuestPod and at BRGuestMike. Twitter as well. That sounds cool. Not really, but I'll say it does. And also slam the bell on Instagram. No, not on Instagram, on YouTube and Facebook. I'm too old to say any of this stuff, so you know what to do. We've said it 1,900 times. It's
you crazy. Need to get someone. You need to get an outro to someone to read us out.
I know. I should contact
a young person. Yeah, a young person.
Part of the Patreon, right? Like, you just someone will. Someone new every week from the Patreon.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yes, that is. I like that idea. That I could just, wouldn't have to say it for the 1900th time. I say this. I wonder if, like, ever over at 3:30 in the morning, I'm like, don't forget, this show's brought to you. This good night's sleep is brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Fill out the quote form. And in 6 hours, when I get up and run my miles, then I'll be in the office and we'll be taking care of you. That's my life. That's fun. Who knows? I'll have to ask Pam. All right. Anyway, we are out of here. So whatever you do for New Year's Eve, have a good time. But, I'm always telling you, whatever you do, party on New Year's Eve. I'm always saying, you know, if you're drinking, don't drive, you know, have somebody take care of you. But this year, you're probably staying home. So just, you know, socially distance. And I don't know. We got to say, do what you got to do, you know, on New Year's Eve, right? I mean, Pam, what are your thoughts on how to tell people to celebrate on New Year's Eve this year? What are you?
Crazy. I don't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole, but I will say You know, we're absolutely celebrating this year being behind us, right? But hopefully you can take a few of the lessons you've learned and some joyful events and remember that in 2020, as opposed to all the crap that happened, you know, and do that and do celebrate, find some way to do it. If you're not comfortable celebrating with a group, then celebrate, you know, with the family that lives in your house. Find some way to do it, though, because you absolutely deserve a celebration. If nothing else, you made it through 2020. Amen. So
seriously, I just remember this time last year, like 2020 sounds like it's gonna be great. It's so 2020 just sounds like right? a cool year. It's all symmetrical and stuff. So, but Scott, final words, like, how should people celebrate? What do you say?
I had to echo what Pam was. Just be safe. You know, if you're comfortable being with others, then just be cautious there, but like, there's nothing wrong with just celebrating at home with those that live in your own home. We ended up doing that last year. Ironically, it's funny. Like last year, I feel like we should have gone bigger. You know, if we would have known that we were
right, right. I know. Seriously, we should have.
It was last year. But yeah, just be safe and just think about the positives if there were some. I know it might be challenging to find some positives in 2020, but there definitely are some. And then just look forward to an exciting and safe and happy 2021. Looking forward to it.
That's right. I heard on a radio show I was listening to the other day, they're talking about how, you know, after like with the Spanish flu and all that stuff and, you know, World War One and, you know, coming out of all that bad things right at the end of the 19 teens, that we went right into the roaring 20s as a country. So mm-hmm. How about 21 kicks off the roaring 20s? We have flappers and stuff happening.
There's a lot of good things to look forward to. That's for sure.
I'll have to learn that dance. What's that dance they all did? The jitterbug? Is that a flapper thing? Kind of like the
Charleston.
That's it. Oh, yeah. That's our next reel, Scott, right there.
Okay. We'll work on Charleston. We'll have to do it for New Year's Day.
That's it. We're going to totally work on that. All right. We are out of here. Whatever you do, stay safe, stay healthy, and happy New Year.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.